What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God and find victory over sin and the devil. Today, we are talking about five reasons why your marriage is sexless. Or, as I put it here, the eros is gone. The erotic love is gone. There's little to no sexual desire. And if you do have sex, it's unfulfilling, or you're not having sex at all. Okay, so one or more spouses are saying, you know, I don't really want to have sex today. I just don't feel like it. This is because of the issues that I'm going to expose today. Now, aside from a woman being a narcissist and using sex to control her husband, we're not talking about that. We're talking about when people have legitimate desire, but it's just not working. Like I said, the eros is gone. The erotic desire, the sexual desire is gone. The sex is unfulfilling when you do it. You know, the orgasms are very, very light. You know, very small. Your erections are not that hard as a man. Women, you're not that moist down there. You don't have a lot of fluid build up from being aroused. And it takes a long time to even just get into the mood because something's missing. So I got five reasons here. Number four and five is what you want to listen to the most because those are the ones a lot of people don't talk about. So let's get right into it. Okay, number one, this is pretty obvious, but medication killed your sex drive. If you see that your medication is doing it, just change your medication. Talk to your doctor about, hey, look, I want to have sex and I just don't feel the desire anymore. You know, maybe it's the medication I'm taking causing this. And then try to fix that, change that. All right. Number two here is you're sick mentally or physically. Now, a mental sickness would be depression, stress, things like that. When you're depressed or you're stressed, you won't have a high sex drive. You won't want to have sex. So something's going on in your life that's causing you stress or you're depressed. These things will cause you to be a person that's like, I'm really not interested in sex. And so it's important to find out what those problems are, fix them so that you can be a decent person. You're not well mentally. You need to be well mentally. All right. The other side of it is for physical sickness. So if you're in pain a lot, or if you have a cold, or you're just not going to be interested. And if this is something, a sickness that's been drawn out for several weeks, yeah, you're not going to be wanting to have sex in some cases. So we got to get healed in those areas so that way we can get back to having sex. And as I mentioned before, I had a article about sexual health and why sex is so important. God created sex. He wants you to have sex. He wants you to have strong erections and huge orgasms and everybody to be happy in the bedroom. After doing some studies on sex, and as I continue to do my studies, I found that women can have seven different types of orgasms. Okay? Men can have multiple orgasms without ejaculating. So there's areas that some of us may not be experiencing that God wants us to experience. He wants us to have joy and pleasure. And he created sex for us within the confines of marriage to enjoy. And we need to fix these things that are causing these barriers between our pleasure. So those are the first two that's kind of self-explanatory. You kind of know that. Number three is that you have lost sexual attraction to your spouse. Now, they're causing this in some cases. All right. Number one, if a man loses sexual attraction to his wife, it could be because she gained weight. She's overweight. The way she looked initially that turned him on sexually, she don't look that way no more. She may have cut her hair. A lot of women's beauty is in their hair. But when they start chopping it off, she's lost her a lot of her attraction. So when a woman alters appearance or she gives up and lets herself go, that can lead to a man not wanting to have sex with her. So, but of course, we live in this society where it's gynocentric. And we got something called body positivity where women are being told that men should accept them however they look, that he should not seek to alter her appearance in any way, especially for her health's sake. So if she gets fat, overweight, out of shape, he's supposed to just deal with that and accept that. He should pick women who are overweight and out of shape. We got a music star right now. I think she's a rapper and a singer. She's an overweight black woman. She's out of shape and she's strutting around and, you know, showing off her behind and stuff like that. She showed off her behind at a stadium you know, with families and stuff like that. It wasn't something people like wanted to see. And we're told that we're supposed to accept this. This is something that we should put up with and accept. You know, no, it's not sexually attractive. So a husband who used to have a wife that was slim and fit and nice, and now she's overweight and out of shape, he's not going to be sexually attractive. So for him to say he just got to accept that and somehow his penis is going to get erect from that, it's just not going to work. Oftentimes, these men have to look at another woman or think about another woman just to get an erection. That's what's happening in some cases. Men are actually looking at pornography before they have sex. They're thinking about another woman when they have sex just to get an erection to have sex with their own wives because the wives are unattractive. To fix that, wives just need to get back in shape. A man must not allow his woman to be out of shape, to get out of shape. It must be a criteria for the marriage. Don't get out of shape. Maintain your figure. You know, and as I go forward and I talk about the duties of a wife and the duty as a husband, a woman of God knows that she's supposed to be in shape, stay in shape. Okay, it's just, but don't let society lie to you as ladies and say that you can just be as big as you want to be and out of shape and think that your husband gonna still want to have sex with you. Some other things that a woman could do that could alter her sexual appeal would be she colored her hair or she cut it off, as I mentioned before. She's trying to follow the cultural, you know, the culture and what they're doing, but it don't fit what the man like. Okay. If your husband likes your hair a certain way, leave it that way. If you're changing it constantly, you're saying, I don't respect my husband and what he desires, and I don't care if he don't like this or not. I'm going to be my own individual and do my own thing. What you're saying a lot with your actions, but you're also killing sexual attraction. So for women, if you got bad behavior, that can kill sexual attraction. Some examples would be a lot of crying, being nitpicky, being what they call nagging, being combative, undermining your husband, accusing your husband of things he didn't do, being narcissistic. We did a whole series on that, things of that nature. For men, a bad behavior would be abuse, physical or mental abuse. Same thing, narcissistic behavior, not keeping your wife safe, not providing necessity. All these things lead to a woman not being sexually attracted to the man. Okay, so men must step up and make sure they take care of that. A woman doesn't want to have sex with a man who is abusive. She just don't. Not in some normal cases. I know there are women out there who want to get beat up even during sex. I mean, they're dysfunctional in some cases. You know, we'll talk about that later on. But for the most part, if this is a normal woman, she's not going to want to have sex with a man who's abusing her. Okay, she's just not going to find that to be something that she's interested in. Back to the women here, bad attitude. Now, I talked about bad behavior. I'm going to talk about bad attitude. A bad attitude would be defiance, a lack of submission, a woman who is obedient but not out of submission. So she'll do what the man says but do it reluctantly, out of religious obligation. She'll do it with hostility rather than joy and just doing it. She'll do it with some murmuring or something, complaining or something like that. Bad behavior, that's a turnoff for a man. He will find her sexually unattractive, right? For men, if he begins to act less masculine, if he doesn't confront bad behavior, if he's a pushover, if he lets his wife lead, if he's not aggressive in bed, if he doesn't take charge, if he's partnering with his woman instead of being a patriarch, being a yes ma'am, doing what she says and letting her dominate him, in some cases, she will find him less attractive. A woman does not want a man who acts feminine, who's less than a man. She wants a full man. Even if she complains about it, she wants a full man, a completely masculine man, okay? Same thing with women. A man is not sexually attracted to a woman. And I'm talking about a heterosexual man who understands masculinity. He is not attracted to a woman who is less feminine. A woman who is not feminine, a woman who has cut her hair off, who's bossy, who's controlling, who's combative, who's always struggling for power in a relationship, who's argumentative. You know, I've seen women, the way they walk now, some of these women just walk like a man. They don't have any swagger like a woman. They don't have that femininity anymore. And when you see that, you just say, oh, this is unattractive. She may have a pretty face, a nice, you know, a nice body, but her behavior is masculine. Well, if a woman becomes like that and she's married, a man is not going to be sexually attracted to her. He's going to lose attraction for her. Now, he may still want to have sex, but when he goes to do it, he'll find that his erections are not that strong. His orgasms are very small because she just don't do it for him anymore. She became masculine. Same thing with men. They became, if you become feminine or less masculine, your woman won't be attracted to you. She won't be that sexually aroused by you. Her vagina won't get wet. She won't get moist around you. It'll take all this action and foreplay to actually get it going because of the lack of sexual attraction. So this is the way it is. Okay, men are attracted to women who are feminine, and women are attracted to men who are masculine. It's just how it works. You can't mess up biology. Okay. And a lot of people in marriage is thinking, I don't know what's going on. What's wrong? Men have erectile dysfunctions and don't understand why. Well, I'll tell you why, man. Your woman's masculine. You're around masculine energy. You're not attracted to that. You want femininity. And let me tell you something, ladies. A woman that's very feminine, who's vulnerable, who's soft-spoken, who's not loud, who has very long hair, or she's very weak, I would say, in some cases. Just, she's not trying to be this super strong woman. That is a turn-on. But culture has taught women to be the exact opposite. Cut your hair off, be a man. You can do it yourself. You don't need no man. You're independent. And that is so unattractive. A man will lose his erection around a woman like that, who is a real man, okay? Because a lot of us men, like I said, we've been effeminized slightly. And so we still may be attracted to women like that. But the more I become masculine as a man, I find women that are like that to be less desirable. You know, they just don't do it for me. I can see it a mile away. The energy is masculine and it's unattractive. It's a turn off. I don't want to be around them. It's just like, ugh. You know, the energy is just off. It's just, so anyway, that is a reason why you wouldn't be having sex in the bedroom, okay? You're having troubles in the bedroom. You're having weak erections. It's taking all this foreplay for a woman to actually get wet and aroused. And then when you do start the action of intercourse, it takes forever for her to get an orgasm because of his lack of masculinity, right? This is what society has created. It's turned us both men into women and women into men. That's what's happening, and this is causing problems in the bedroom. All right? We can fix this, though, of course. All right? But going forward, here's the big ones, number four and number five. Number four here is sexual repression. Now, sexual repression is when you feel some way about sex. We talked about this. We had a whole series on it. I'll link it in the sermon notes. But sexual repression will kill your ability to enjoy sex fully. You won't open up and to accept sex that well. You know, ladies, if you're sexually repressed, you just probably won't have an orgasm that many times because you're not open. Your thoughts about sex have been cut off. You don't think about it. Like I said, sexual repression told us that we couldn't have sex before marriage, that if you do have sex, that it's really just for procreation. You bet not enjoy it. Forms of sex, oral sex, is wrong. Masturbation is wrong. So a woman who has never masturbated because of sexual repression, because she was told growing up that if she did, she was in sin and she was going to hell, does not have any connection to her sexuality. And because of that, when she does start having sex, she's not on. She's just not on because she's been repressed. It's turned off. It's been locked down. And she don't know what's going on. She just know that something ain't right. She, you know, if she's really thinking about it, but that's what it is. If you feel some way about sex, you don't want to talk about it. You want to use all these other terms about sex. You don't want to be blunt about sex. You feel funny about sex. Then it's going to express itself in the bedroom and it won't be a good experience for both of y'all. Okay. Someone will just lay on their back and let the man just have sex with them that way. It's like, girl, what are you doing? You're being a starfish just laying on the bed, or you're cold. It could be because of sexual repression. So she knows that she should open up for her husband. So she's allowing that to happen. But at the end of the day, she's not open fully because she's been repressed. Another thing sexual repression does is it kills sexual fuel. People who are free in their sexuality, they emit a certain level of sexual fuel. That's what they, it's what they call sexy. It's not to say that a person has to wear low cleavage and their legs out, or a man has to walk around with his shirt open and his muscles showing and stuff like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. They emit sexual energy. And this is normal, actually. But we've been taught from because of sexual repression that this is wrong. This is lust. This is sensuality. This is a sin. It's not a sin. You're supposed to be that way. You're supposed to be in tune with your sexuality. That's part of who you are. Now, when I say this stuff, I'm not talking about a person who is experimenting with animals and dogs and the same sex and orgies and all this kind of stuff. I'm talking about a person who is in tune with their sexuality. I am a sexual person. Just say that. You know, a person who is sexual, they usually say stuff like that. I am a sexual person. They're in tune with it. They like it. They're open. Okay? They're not repressed. They don't feel negative about sex. So it's being sexy. Have you ever been told you were sexy? You might have been emanating some level of sexual desire because you are not that sexually repressed. Now, there's levels to sexual repression. Some people are extremely sexually repressed. Some people are not so sexually repressed. The bottom line is we want to be at a place where we're fully open and free and don't have no barriers or locks on our sexuality. And when I keep saying sexuality, I'm not talking about people being homosexuals and lesbians and thinking that they're transgender. I ain't talking about none of that stuff. I'm talking about just being free and comfortable with sex. Not feeling some kind of way when you talk about it. When you hear the word or you say, oh, that's taboo, we can't talk about that. If you say that, you're sexually repressed on some level. And the reason why I say all this is because there's a whole book in the Bible called the Song of Solomon, which is all about sex. Sexual attraction, sexual desire, sexual intercourse. And God is not tripping about sex. He never made it this taboo thing. It was the church that did that. Okay? So we got to get out away from our sexual repression. All right? So what the Bible really teaches about sensuality is that don't let sensuality, or what they call carnality, or the flesh, take over. Don't let it master you, but you master it. Don't allow your sexuality to lead you to be having sex before marriage, or banging everything that moves, getting involved in orgies, wife swapping, having sex with animals and children, and doing things in weird places that are harmful to each other. You don't do that. But you can be free to experience the highest levels of pleasures that God wants you to have. And that's your huge orgasms. For men, you will find that you'll have a stronger erection. Ladies, you'll find you'll be wetter often and ready to go well before the man even starts the foreplay. And before y'all know it, y'all having great sex and having great orgasms. That's what God wants for you. All right? This is what God wants for you. But sexual oppression from the Catholic Church, it's demonic. It was from Satan himself. He doesn't want people having these experiences. Like I said, sex is healthy for you. You release so much spiritual toxins when you have orgasm. If you're not getting that, it just stays in us. It's connected to youth. You look at some people who are just joyous all the time. They're real old, but they're joyous. It's been having a lot of sex. They're happy. It just does something to your mind. Dopamine is released into your brain that gives you this euphoric feeling. You feel good. This is what God wants for you, to live in a joyous state. Yeah, you live in a wicked world. Yeah, there's going to be ups and downs, but who you are as a person will be a reflection of God on earth because of your sex. Okay? Every area of your life, God wants him to be in there. And so there's a whole book in the Bible dedicated to sex. It's called The Song of Solomon. You need to read it. You need to study it. You need to break down the poetry and the allegories and what those terms really mean. Because you'll see these people having good sex. They having orgasms, strong orgasms. They having powerful, pleasurable experiences between man and woman. Let me stress that again. I'm not with no homosexuality. We don't support none of that. We don't support wife swapping and orgies and any of that stuff. I want to be clear about that. So that's what I got for you on that. Now, the fifth thing and the last thing here is that person, the reason why you might not having good sex, or the sex is lame, or you're not having sex at all, is because that person may not be your sexual match. This is called something called the sex map. This is, you look up the love map or the sex map. And I came across this after listening to several YouTube videos from people who talk about sexuality between the men and women, and I'm like, what is this sex map? And basically what the sex map is everybody builds a composite of who they're sexually attracted to early in their life. It starts with your opposite gender parent. So as a male, the first girl I'm gonna be attracted to sexually is probably gonna look like my mother on some level, right? May not be exactly obviously, but that's what I'm gonna be sexually attracted to. Sexual attraction mean I'm turned on by the person. Okay, that map is further created with my interactions with girls as I grow up. So the earliest I can begin to find women attractive or girls attractive, and they find me attractive, those mutual exchanges of attraction build my sex map as a man. And the same thing for a woman. But primarily as a man, that girl's hair texture, her body type, her skin color, her eye color, all that begins to form that man's map of who he's sexually attracted to. All right? And then that's it. And the rest of his life, that's what he's going to be attracted to. So for example, you're a white male and you had favorable experiences with girls with red hair. Okay, every time you talk to a girl, and this is not you ain't had sex with her, but you talk to her, she like you like her back, you both attracted to each other. She got red hair and green eyes. That's gonna be your type of girl that you like the most. That's gonna be the girl that's sexy, that you find sexually attractive. Okay? Notice I mentioned hair color, skin color, eye color, body type. Some guys like women with big breasts. Why? Because the first interactions that were positive with women, they had big breasts. Right? Some guys like women with big old behinds and nice thighs and a little bit of meat on them. Why? Because the first experiences with women that they had as a young boy were women that looked like that. And that stays with a man. Right? And it stays in his brain, and that's what he likes. So this is cross-cultural. So if you're a black man, and guess what? And you just have favorable experiences with light-skinned women or white women, let's say for instance. Guess what you're going to be attracted to? White women or light-skinned women. Okay? So I'm talking about the black man because I know that black men are shamed for this. They're shamed. They're told that they have self-hate because they like women that don't look like their mother or their sisters. And that's not the case. The man just has a love map. That's his love map. His first positive experiences with women were women that look like that. They had straight hair. They had lighter skin. They were either Caucasian, maybe they were of other races, might even be black girls, but they had a certain look to them, and that's what's most attractive to him. That turns him on. That's what he's sexually attracted to. All right? He can't really change that. Now it goes forward. It's compounded because afterward, if he starts having sex with these kind of women, it also informs him what he's attracted to. So if he has a sexual experience with these women, then he's further bonded to that idea of what he finds attractive, the ideal mate, or what he finds attractive sexually. Okay? And when I talk about sex, I'm talking about being turned on, erotic, turned on. Okay? So say for instance that black man marries a woman that or deals with a woman who is don't fit his map. Well, he's not going to be sexually attracted to her. He's not going to be as turned on by her. Okay? He can still get turned on. He can still, but it won't be the highest level as if he was with his type, his sexual match. So it's important for men going forward, now that you have this information, to pick women who fit your sexual map. All right? Likewise with girls, boys that they seen growing up, who specifically society said was the guys, women are informed by whoever's the strongest male in their world. Okay? So women will grow up watching television and whatever's on television, whatever their dad looks like, and whatever boys that they come across who people say are the best guys. So say a girl grows up looking at, jocks, football players or basketball players, that might be what she's attracted to growing up. Okay? That is forming what she's attracted to, right? But for women, it's a lot different because as soon as she has sex, the first three men she has sex is what causes her to have a womb imprint. She's imprinted. And that could be, those men are different from what she's initially attracted to. She changes. She becomes what those men are. So if, to say that those guys were a little thuggish, a little rugged, and her first three experiences with different men sexually were those type of guys, that's what her imprint is. That's what her love map is. That's what it is for her. That's what turns her on now. So that's it for her. She's like, okay, what makes me, turns me on, what gets me wet is these type of guys. All right. Now, she may not know that, though. You know, so say, for instance, the woman is dealing with a thug, but he's not responsible. He's not going to take care of the kids and stuff like that. This woman will still be attracted to these type of guys. So this is the reason why a lot of women, specifically black women in the hood, are attracted to certain guys who are not good for them. And this is because these kind of guys kind of break past the social norms of society, and they have a certain level of masculinity, and they end up having sex with these women. So it's only usually about 20% of the men are having sex with 80% of the women. Okay, so, and what's happening is they're being imprinted by a certain type of man. So you'll hear a common thing within the black community around black women is that they're into thuggish type of guys. They like these type of men. He had to have this type of swagger. He had to have this type of look. That's because she was imprinted by that type of man. Now, she was imprinted by a mechanic or a young guy who was into comic books and art. He had a different type of build, and he gave her a pleasurable experience. She's going to be interested in those type of guys. So this is very important for women to understand. And a lot of women are not marrying men who fit their sexual imprint, okay, their womb imprint. Why? Because the men ain't no good. They understand that this guy's not going to take care of me or my family. He's just some kind of player. He got good sex. But at the end of the day, he is not going to do it for me. So I'm going to marry this other guy. So she married this other guy, but he doesn't do it for her. They have sex, but it's just not there. It's not this 100% desire. It's just not there. No matter what that man does, he can be visually attractive, have a lot of muscles, got a lot of money. When it comes to raw sexual attraction, she's still not feeling him. She just says, something ain't there. It just ain't there. She don't know what it is, but she know when that other man steps into the room, that thug, she getting all weak, she getting wet, and she finding these other guys. And she may try to hide it and just say, look, most of these women can keep it together for a while. But if that she's around that man long enough, she may be tempted to have sex with him. Despite she being married, especially if he's pursuing her, and she gonna give it to him easy because that's her imprint. That's who she had sex early on in life. Okay, it's a composite of a man, and that if that other man comes around with those same characteristics, that's what she's gonna turn her on. So women conform to their men when they have sex with them. The spirit of that man is in her now. Okay. And that's the way sex works. If a woman has sex with a lot of men and she settles down with men that don't fit with a man that doesn't fit her imprint, she's probably going to find him less attractive and probably going to commit adultery at some point. She might. You know, and men, you need to understand, it's a woman who had sex with a lot of men. She's been imprinted by a lot of men. Okay. And if you don't fit her imprint, she's not going to be that sexually attracted to you. And that's where we get where a man is, he's wanting to have sex with a wife, but she's saying no, she don't feel him like that. It may not be because he ain't masculine. It may be because she just don't see him like that. Like, you just don't do it for me. He's just deep down, but she can't tell him that. She can't tell him that. Because, like I said, we've been sexually oppressed in this society. We can't talk about sex. So she can't say, you know what, you just don't do it for me. And see, women got to, after getting this information, got to get honest. And start saying, look, you don't do it for me. And men, you got to say the same thing. If this is, you know, that's the case with your wife, you picked a woman and you did not consider sexual attraction or your sexual map. Now, what can we do about all this? You know, how can we fix all of this? I would say, for instance, a man marries a woman who doesn't fit her sexual map or her womb imprint. talking to her could reveal which men she was initially attracted to. He could perhaps role play sexually and bring about some satisfaction on that level. Okay. But I know from the male perspective, it's like, that's not who I am. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to be somebody else, you know, for this woman. You know, I get that, you know, but, you know, to help both parties in the relationship, that may be something you could do. But going forward as a man, if you're not married yet, talk to your woman about the first men she had sex with. And quite frankly, that's why we kind of start talking more about just dealing with women who are virgins. That way you don't have to even deal with any of this. You know, ladies, you won't have to be in a relationship with a man that you're not necessarily attracted to because you've been imprinted by other men. And man, you don't have to be with a woman who's not really feeling you sexually because she's been imprinted by other men. Get a virgin. She will conform to you. She will be sexually attracted to you. Okay? It's just that's how that works. Okay? So that's one way you can solve that problem and fix it. Some men have said that you can override a woman's womb imprint by matching her imprint. Okay? So conform yourself to whatever she initially desired sexually and then change it. You know, it has to do with masculinity. It has to do with charisma. It has to do with your will. Just being a stronger man than those other men in the past that she had sex with. And if she can see that, you can fix it. But that's something that it's a theory. The reason why we don't know this stuff is because of the Catholic Church. They hid sex from it. They told us don't talk about it, don't deal with it. So we approach a lot of relationships without thinking about the sexual attraction side of things, especially in the religious communities. We don't really deal with this. We don't talk about it because we feel like it's a sin. You're lusting after your so-called wife-to-be. You can't do that. You can't do that now. You can't look at them as a sexual person. You can't evaluate their sexuality, their sexual desire levels and that you have for them, because that's a sin. You're lusting and you're in sin. That's why I did a whole article and a sermon on lust, or what they say lust is, or what Jesus said about it, and sexual desire. And nothing wrong with it. Okay? The issue was having forbidden desires for people who are not supposed to be with. Men, you can't desire and go after a woman who's married. He says, if that's in your heart, you've already committed adultery. In other words, you're on your way to actually doing it. All right? Because it starts in the heart, is what he's saying. That's what that was all about. They made us believe that lust or desire, sexual desire for anybody that we're not married to is a sin. It's not. As a man, I don't want to go over this again, but as a man, aside from my wife, if I sexually desire another woman and she's not married, that's okay. Ladies, if you desire a married man, that's perfectly fine. You could potentially marry him if he's into polygyny. Be a second wife or third wife or whatever number on the roster. So God is not prohibiting your sexual desires. He's just saying don't go into the forbidden zone, because that's where you begin to birth sin. If as a man, if you're desiring a woman that's already married, and you're thinking, the more you sit and focus on her and want her, the more you're going to lead to you actually wanting to go get her. Now you're committing adultery at that point, because you went and took this man's wife. That's a forbidden desire, which is what we call a lust. So I digress a little bit about that. But back to the topic here. Women are getting married. They want the status of marriage. You know, they don't want to be this lonely woman but they're marrying men who don't fit their imprint. And unfortunately, they're in marriages where they just don't find them attractive. And because of that, they won't give them any sex. Their sexual imprint is all over the place, but it don't fit this man that she's marrying. And she's with him for security and financial support and status of being married. And she's miserable. She's like, she's with this dude she don't even respect. She don't find him sexually attractive. But she's there because she wants the security. And that's what's happening in a lot of marriages. And a lot of guys, you know, my wife don't want to have sex with me. That's because you don't fit her thing. But it's not your fault. It's what culture did to us, you know, and we have to get past these things and heal. Catholic Church infected culture and told us that we couldn't think about sex or talk about it in the open and be free with it. So we end up like this, not dealing with people on a sexual level, not taking in consideration sexual desire. as well when we're picking a mate. And this backfires also. Say, for instance, you only pick women that you sexually attracted to. You can't build a relationship off of that. So there are people who got married based off of that. They both were sexually passionate in love. You know, of course, they had sex before marriage, and that's all they were doing. They said, let's just get married because this is just awesome and great. And they found that personalities didn't match. Their life goals didn't match. One, the woman wasn't really a wife. The man didn't really want to be a husband. They didn't deal with none of that stuff. You see what I'm saying? So some people get, you know, go off of that. You don't do that. You make sure when you're picking your spouse, there's a spark of sexual attraction there. Okay. Make sure that you can get along personality wise, you know, introversion, extroversion, stuff like that. Make sure that there's good character. Make sure you got life goals that are aligned. Make sure that she understands what being a wife is and you understand what being a husband is. You know, so the problem here is, like I said, in this particular talk is that in this fifth point here, is that people don't have the sexual side in place. They don't look at the sexual desire part. They look at the social side. They look at whether or not they like how the person looks. They look good, but they don't look at, do they make the person aroused? Give you an example of sexual attraction. I think I might have talked about this, but just to reiterate, models, runway models are pretty. They're attractive. They're designed to model clothes, make clothes look good. But a stripper makes you aroused. You see the difference? Both are pretty women, but the stripper may not have, her face may not be as pretty as the runway model, but she has sexual attraction, sexual desire, sexual energy coming from her. That's what you got to have in order to have spark in your relationship, in your marriage, okay? You can be, y'all can both look visually attractive, both look nice, but you got to have that sexual desire there, that fuel, okay? And that comes all the way back to being sexually free, not having some repression on you. It also goes to have the same sex map, okay? And just to reiterate the other points here, you making sure that you are keeping up with your sexual attraction. You make sure your body's tight and all that kind of stuff. You're mentally and physically well, and that you have no medication that you're using that will kill your sexual drive. So those are the five reasons why marriages are sexless, meaning that there's little or no sexual desire, or if you do have sex, it's unfulfilling, or you're not having sex at all. These are the reasons, and this is how you fix them, okay? Get rid of medication that's killing your sex drive. Be mentally and physically well, okay, especially with the mental side. Don't be stressed out. Don't be depressed, all right? Number three here is stay in shape. Have a good attitude, ladies. Have a have good behavior. Men, be masculine. Women, be feminine. Ladies, be submissive to your husbands. Men, be leaders. Don't take no mess from your wife. Lead her, dominate her, and keep going. Y'all will stay together. Again, get rid of the sexual repression. Be free. Study the Book of Song of Solomon. Number five, make sure you have the sex map in place that y'all match. All right. The best thing here is when it comes to people getting married, is men, you need to marry virgins or talk to them ahead of time. What are the first few guys that you had sex with? You know, what were they like? And then you can determine whether or not you should be dealing with her, you know. But if you match it, by all means, go ahead with her. She'll fall right on in line with you, you know. So that's all I got for you today. Till next time, walk in the spirit and be blessed.